Long, you could open up to 1 Peter chapter 4. I don't know what's going on with my font, but it's acting crazy right now, so we'll just hope this works out as we go along. But 1 Peter chapter 4, let's start reading in verse 12. Peter says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." Sorry. Give me a second. "If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of God and of glory and of God rest upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed." I apologize. I did not realize I was going to struggle like this. "But let him glorify God in that name, for it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who did not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who are suffering according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." Thanks, Mike. Apologize for that. You know, none of us like difficult times, do we? We don't like to suffer. And we'll go through great lengths to try not to suffer, to avoid that suffering in our lives. But, you know, sometimes we'll be going through those fiery trials and we think, why me? Why am I going through this? And as we look at our life and we examine ourselves, we think, you know, I'm pretty confident I've been trying to live righteously. You know, I'm pretty confident I've been doing that. But then we look at this fiery trial that we're going through and we're thinking, is there some way that maybe I'm out of the will of God? I'm not doing things according to his will? I mean, why else would I be going through this? But that's the wrong kind of thinking, right? Isn't that the kind of thinking that Job's friends were putting on him? Amen. And in verse 19, Peter says, he says, sometimes we suffer, we go through these fiery trials because it's according to God's will. It's what God's will, what he wants for us. Amen. And so in this text tonight, Peter's going to give us these four lessons, four very tough lessons to apply in our lives on how to suffer, how to go through suffering. And if we do this, if we do these hard lessons, we're going to glorify God in our suffering. And our suffering, our trials are not going to crush us. And these four things that we're going to look at is, we need to be expecting suffering. We need to expect suffering. We need to rejoice in suffering. We need to examine ourselves in suffering. And we need to entrust ourselves to God, trust our souls to God in suffering. And so this first one, expect suffering. Verse 12, Peter says, "Beloved, do not be surprised when the fire of trial comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." So lesson number one is, expect trials to happen. They're going to happen. But the truth is, we are surprised most of the time, aren't we? Because in America, we like our comfort. I mean, we would love to sit back in our chair, binge some Netflix, order some takeout. We like things to be comfortable. We don't like things when they get uncomfortable. And when they do, when we get those fiery trials, we're a little shocked and thinking, what's going on? This isn't supposed to be this way. I need that comfort back in my life. And so we're surprised. And often we're surprised. We're surprised by the intensity of the trial, right? We're surprised by how intense this suffering is. And the people that Peter's writing to, most likely, or there's a good chance what he's writing to them about is the persecution that was happening on the church in the first century that was probably coming their direction. You know, this evil man Nero was emperor of Rome. And Nero was the Hitler, probably worse than Hitler and Stalin and some of the evil leaders that have been in this world. That was Nero. He would take Christians and smear them in tar and light them on fire to light his garden parties. Feed Christians to the lions for entertainment. That's the kind of guy Nero was. I mean, imagine that you're a Christian in the first century and Nero has got you in his house, his palace or whatever, and he's covered you in tar or pitch. And the Roman soldier's standing next to you with his torch. And you know what's going to happen. And here's Nero walking around, flirting with the women, acting crude and disgusting. And you're watching because you know. And you're waiting. And then Nero says, "Let's get those lights on." And that Roman soldier takes that torch and sets it to your feet. The trial doesn't get much more intense than that. President Reagan once said that a soldier who's dying in the war is about as intense as it can get. And when you're suffering your own fiery trial, it can feel very intense. I'm sorry. We can also be surprised by the source of our trial, right? Where that trial is coming from. You get that phone call in the middle of the night, and that loved one has passed away. You can be surprised at that. The doctor comes in and gives you that awful news about your health. You can be surprised at the source of that. So many times where that trial, that suffering is coming from, we can be surprised by the source of that suffering. But Peter says, don't be surprised, expect it. We can be surprised by the purpose of our trials, right? We can be looking at our trial and say, why is this happening to me? I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense. But Peter says there is a purpose to these trials. And the purpose is to test you. You know, we often flatter ourselves, I think. We think, you know, my faith is solid. I don't need to be tested. I don't need the fiery trial. I mean, I come to church all the time. I pray. I believe in God. And I don't need my faith tested. I'm good. But then that fiery trial comes, and we realize I did need to be tested. My faith wasn't what I thought it was. It needs to be stronger. Chapter 1, verse 7, Peter says, appreciate you guys' grace and bearing with me in this. Verse 7 says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3. Back up a slide. Okay. The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests the hearts.
Amen.
That's this testing that we're talking about. And it's that word for testing metals. So let's say you get that, you get us this rock here. Just a two head, far head. All right, there it is. So you get this rock here, and it's full of gold flakes, right? You think, wow, I've got a lot of gold here. Okay, how much gold do you got? Well, I got a lot. Okay, how much is it worth? Well, it's got to be worth a lot. Look at it, there's a lot in there. Okay, how much? What can you buy with it? How much do you got? You don't know. You can only guess, right? But you got the gold bar next to it. How much do you got? You know what you got. Why do you know? That's been proven. It's been tested. It's gone through the fiery trial, and it's burned out all those impurities, and it's left what's pure, right? And that's what we need to do sometimes. We need to go through the fire. We need to burn off those impurities of the flesh, refine our faith, prove our faith. And that's what this testing is for. It's the crucible that we go through to make sure that our faith is genuine. So Peter says, don't be surprised when these trials come upon you. Expect it. And the purpose is because it's to test that your faith is genuine, to burn off those impurities, to draw you closer to God. And then he says, rejoice in suffering. Rejoice in suffering. What? James says, count it all joy when you suffer various kinds of trials of various kinds. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, Paul says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. Know that our suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, we all know that God's word says to rejoice in suffering. But we also know that there's nothing natural about rejoicing in suffering. There's nothing natural about that. So if you're going to do it, you're going to have to get some supernatural power behind you to do it, right? And that comes through God. So how do we do this? How do we rejoice in suffering? Well, let's see. There we go. One of the ways Peter says, rejoice in so far as you share in Christ's suffering. That word share is the Greek word koinoneo, which we've heard before, that means fellowship, right? It means to come into communion or fellowship with, to become a sharer or a partaker with. Now, the suffering that Peter's talking about here to these Christians is suffering for being a Christian. Suffering because you're a Christian and you're inviting it upon yourself because you stand for Christ. But the truth is, if you're glorifying God in your suffering, if you're trying to glorify God in your suffering, then you're going to come in closer fellowship with God also in that. And a lot of times when we're suffering and we're trying to glorify God in those moments, God will do things where he'll kind of reveal himself to us to show that he's with us, to show that we are in fellowship with him. Amen. Think of Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In verse 24, it says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar was startled and quickly got up. He said to his ministers, 'Wasn't there three men tied up and thrown into the fire?' And they replied to the king, 'For sure, king.' He answered, 'But I see four men untied and walking around in the midst of the fire. No harm has come to them. And the appearance of the fourth is like that of a god.'" Remember Stephen being stoned in Acts chapter 7? He says, "Look," he said, "I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." How many times in our suffering has God shown himself to us, shown his presence? In this trial that Teresa and I have been going through, there's a handful of times where we just look up and we go, "I know that was you, God." There's no other explanation. You can rejoice in those moments, knowing that you're in fellowship with God. Rejoice that you're in fellowship with God. We can rejoice in suffering because it makes us long for Christ's return, right? A couple weeks ago, I think it was in Joel's Bible class, somebody made the comment, says, "Everybody wants to get to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there." Do you remember that? They were talking about this morning. That kind of applies to Christ coming back, right? I think we all want to see Christ return. But how excited are we really for that? And this is what we're talking about in Bible class this morning. I mean, we all say, yeah, we're excited for it, right? I want to see Christ return. But if we're being honest, how many of us would also add to that, "Well, but I'd like to see my grandchildren grow up first. I'd like to see my kids get married. You know, there's that vacation that we've wanted to take for so long. I'd like to do that first." How many of us are really excited and want Christ to return right now? I think in America, you know, we're just so comfortable and we're so complacent. We got our life full of so much stuff that we're not really that excited about Christ returning. But to that Christian in Syria whose family was just killed and he's on the run, knowing that his life's in danger, he's looking forward to Christ's return. Suffering will do that for you. It will increase your hope, make you long for Christ's return, put your focus and in priorities where they need to be. And you can rejoice in that, in that hope increasing for Christ's return. We can rejoice in Christ, in suffering because the Spirit of God will rest upon us. You know, if you're suffering as a Christian or just suffering in a way that you're doing your best to try to glorify God, Peter says the Spirit of God and glory will rest upon you. Part of God's glory is his perfect attributes, right? His perfect love, his compassion, his grace, and his mercy. And if you're trying to suffer as a Christian, suffer glorifying God, aren't some of God's attributes going to be seen in you, in your actions? Maybe in his love and his compassion? You'd be developing that Christ-like attitude. Suffering becomes the crucible to make you more like Christ. Isn't that something to rejoice in? That you're being developed and brought more into the likeness of Christ. Over in 2 Peter, Peter talks about us being partakers in the divine nature, becoming like God, taking on his characteristics. Suffering does that for us, and that's something to rejoice in. Sometimes we need that push, right? So we can rejoice in suffering because it brings us in a deeper fellowship with Christ, and it makes us increase our hope for his return, and the Spirit of God will rest upon us, and we'll become more like Christ. We also need to examine ourselves in suffering, though. Peter says, "But if none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." You know, when we are suffering, we do need to take that moment and ask ourselves, is this because of sin in my life? Have I done something to bring this on? Have I done something that is causing this adversity, this trial in my life to happen? And if that's the case, we need to do what John says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, right? He says, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." So examine yourself. Make sure that this isn't because of some sin that you've committed. And if you find out that that's not the case, that you haven't done a sin and to bring this on, then seek ways that you can glorify God in this trial. Look for the opportunities to glorify God. And then the fourth thing is, Peter says, entrust your soul to God in your suffering. He says, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This word entrust is a banking term. It means to deposit one's valuables into another's for safekeeping. Probably get automatic deposit now at work, right? If you're still working or your retirement check maybe goes into automatic deposit, right? It goes into the bank, and you're trusting the bank to guard your money until you want to pull it out, right? Whether that's tomorrow or whether that's in 30 years when you retire or whenever, but you're trusting the bank to guard your money. Who can guard your soul when you're going through a trial or an adversity or some difficulty in life? Who can guard your soul? Only God can do that. So are you entrusting your soul to God when you're going through your trial, when you're suffering? Peter tells us to trust or entrust our souls to God, to a faithful Creator. A faithful Creator, the Creator of everything. Think about that. God spoke and it happened. That's the power we're talking about. Amen. So do you think God can guard your soul? Amen. He has the power to do that. Entrust your soul to God. Over in Psalm chapter 27, verse 13 and 14, David says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Where's the land of the living? We might think that's here, right? The land of the living. But everybody here eventually is going to do what? They're going to die. So isn't this more the land of the dead? Land of the living, wouldn't that be in heaven with God? David says, I will look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Are you looking forward to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Is that where your focus is at? Paul talked like this. Paul said, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory to be revealed to us. You know, for me, this is a lot about perspective, right? Having the right perspective. Over in Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You know, we're entrusting our soul to God, asking him and praying for him to guard our soul. And as we've been going through this trial, this has been the one thing, the only thing that's really brought me true peace. And after this all happened, we went out to dinner with Jeff and Cindy, and I asked Jeff, I said, how do you get through the bad days? I mean, how do you get through the thoughts that kind of just take you, and you know, how do you manage that? And Jeff says, I think of the worst, and I deal with that, and then it's fine. And then there were some other things that he said, but let me put it in perspective. I've used this illustration before. We got a rope here. Remember? And this rope just keeps going on forever. There is no end to this rope, okay? It goes forever. This black part here, this is your life here on earth. Maybe this little spot here is your suffering. Maybe this is your suffering, the last quarter of your life. But that's your life. But after that, you've got eternity. And it just keeps going. And there is no end. And it just keeps going. And it keeps going. And Paul says, when I consider this suffering right here, it doesn't compare to all this. How can that compare? Because I've entrusted my soul to God, and he's going to guard it for me. I'm going to be there in eternity with God forever. So this doesn't matter. This is nothing. I can get through this because God's going to get me through this. This is what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to eternity with God. And then he finishes verse 19 and he says, while doing good. I don't know, that's one of the more challenging things when you're in a trial. Because you're so focused on your problems, right? You're so focused on what's going on in your life, the difficulties, but yet there's still good that needs to be done. There's still people that need to be visited. There's work in the kingdom to do. And sometimes we want to hit the brakes and put everything on hold and just look at our problems and go, oh, it's so bad. Peter says, no, and keep doing good. We have an awesome God. Amen. And these trials have a purpose. And when we go through these trials, we need to realize that there's a purpose and that God will get us through. Amen. If we can help you with anything tonight, why don't you come forward as we stand, as we sing.